Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, October 27th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks for joining us across America and beyond. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Remember that every day is a blessing, so make the most of every day that we are given. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. I always take a moment to remind every one of you of the importance of Thursdays. During this first year of the Eucharistic revival that our bishops have called for, try to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament sometime today if you can, or make an extra visit sometime this week when you get a chance. Want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines this hour?
Well, the Senate race is very close. A couple of states being watched very closely, Georgia and Pennsylvania. John, and Pennsylvania Tuesday night had a debate between TV doctor Mehmet Oz and Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. Mr. Fetterman, of course, suffered a stroke in the spring, and he still was there in the debate, working off a teleprompter that had closed captioning for him to help communicate a little bit. A lot of folks, including yourself, still buzzing about that. Let's hear a clip from that debate.
Both of you have taken shifting positions on the issue of fracking. Mr. Oz, we begin with you.
I've been very consistent. Fracking has been demonstrated. It's a very old technology to be safe. It is a lifeline for this Commonwealth to be able to build wealth.
In a 2018 interview, you said, quote, "I don't support fracking at all. I never have." Please explain your changing position.
I've always supported fracking. And I always believe that independence with our energy is critical, and we can't be held, ransom to somebody like Russia.
Glenn, very concerning for many folks what they saw. Even people that are, on board, that are Democrats with Fetterman, felt for him. It was you almost cringed when you saw how much he struggled. In fact, he actually admitted that he struggled yesterday in the aftermath. So it was a very difficult debate. And, one's heart goes out to Mr. Fetterman. But the reality is that with the demands of being a Senate, being in the Senate, being a senator day in and day out, the pressures, every day in the Senate is like the pressure of a debate. So for me, it seems very, very difficult. You just wonder, why is he even running, given the fact that he should probably be rehabbing instead?
Yeah, it's got to be very difficult. I mean, the Senate, even more so than, talk radio. It's all about communication and being able to express oneself. So that has to be very difficult for him.
Yeah, and according to some of the local polls, and again, these were informal of who won the debate, one poll had it 82 to 18 in favor of Dr. Oz. So anybody with eyes saw what happened on that stage.
Yeah, and maybe because of the stroke and some other things as well, the polls have changed greatly. Fetterman had quite the large lead in the polls not that long ago, and the momentum seems to have changed in Dr. Oz's favor.
Yeah, it's basically tied as we speak. And I think Dr. Oz did a good job in being respectful of John Fetterman and his health. And he stuck to the issues because really it's the issues that it's all about. His issues, as you see, he's changed on fracking and on many other things that affect the people of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, that is key, how we talk about these things to show charity for the human being behind whichever party they're standing for. So that's kind of the challenge for us as Christians and Catholics to talk about politics in this age.
It really is. One other note, yesterday there was a lot of talk about Herschel Walker, who, of course, the former Heisman Trophy winner who's running for a seat in the Georgia Senate. It's unbelievable, just days before the election that yet another allegation has popped up.
Yeah, it's getting tough in Georgia. Very close race there between Raphael Warnock, the sitting senator, and Herschel Walker, the challenger, former Heisman Trophy winner, has a lot of popularity in Georgia. But a second claim from a woman that he pressured her into having an abortion as well from back in the 90s.
And I saw an interview with Herschel, and he said, you know, it's a lie. He just denies it, absolutely denies it, and refuses to even go there. And, you know, there was some comparisons to the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, how people were coming out of the woodwork with accusations, you know, anonymously. And it's sort of a similar game plan.
Well, John, there is no denying that it's pumpkin spice season, though, as we take a look at some of the pumpkin spice products that are available. Last hour, we talked about a California woman getting the job of basically being a pumpkin spice pundit, tasked with tasting everything at Trader Joe's related to pumpkin spice, and she'll probably be ready for some Christmas-flavored things before long here, but came up with some of the things available out there, some more of the standards, and you guys can weigh in if you think you'd ever try this or not. But cereals are back, pumpkin spice Cheerios, Frosted Mini Wheats, Special K. That sounds maybe decent, and I think we hit upon this almost right after the 4th of July, the Coffee Mate pumpkin spice creamer. Not a coffee guy myself. What does that do to your Colombian blend there, John?
Well, you know, I tried it last time when we talked about this a while back, and with all due respect, I think I'll stick to my regular Colombian coffee. Although here at the coffee machine at Relevant Radio, there's a ton of pumpkin spice stuff all over the place. So, you know, obviously some people love it.
You know, I think it's one of those things where it's wonderful to have a switch in the routine every now and then. So having a little extra flavor never hurts. And of course, when it's just in small doses, I think pumpkin spice is very tolerable. So I do enjoy a pumpkin spice every now and then. But, you know, pumpkin squares and pumpkin seeds and other pumpkin actual pumpkin pies, that's where I usually put more of my energy as far as searching for pumpkin spiced products.
I prefer my pumpkins with a big smile, the jack-o'-lantern.
It sounds like your squirrels prefer that as well. So
that is true.
A couple more products you guys can't miss, though. I mean, the Krispy Kreme pumpkin spice donuts, I could get on board with that. But to keep the lips soft, Burt's Bees has pumpkin spice lip balm. That'll keep you licking your lips, perhaps. And then finally, just so we can all smell sweeter, pumpkin spice latte deodorant is something that really exists, guys.
Oh, my.
I don't know about that with, you know, because the thing about deodorant, that's tricky because, you know, once you start to have a scent aroma, you're mixing with the scent, and it usually doesn't end well with something that flavorful. So I might pass on the deodorant. That's interesting that it's branching that far into non-food products. I don't know.
If somebody walks by smelling like a pumpkin, I'll know where it came from.
We know the culprit.
All right, Sarah, Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour here on Morning Air. We always start in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings that we receive every single day, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the executive producer of Morning Air when we invoke the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The Apostle St. Paul echoes the words of our Lord Jesus, who told his disciples in a parable that they should always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is powerful, and our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to pray to him to thank the Lord from our hearts. It could be something as simple as just praying the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We can pray through the intercession of the Mother of God when we pray the Holy Rosary. So pray the Rosary sometime today if you can. Pray with Father Rocky tonight, the Family Rosary across America. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you.
This is for all the lonely people.
Wow, that brings back some memories. Great song from the 70s, Lonely People by America. How fitting for our discussion on loneliness among Catholics in this day and age. I recently spoke to Morning Air contributor Marcel Lejeune about what he calls the quiet epidemic of lonely people. Marcel is the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostolate that works with Catholic leaders to form missionary disciples who then make missionary disciples. This is part of my conversation with Marcel Lejeune. Good morning, Marcel. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Marcel, you wrote a real interesting blog called The Quiet Epidemic of Lonely People. Why do you feel that Catholics are facing this quiet epidemic?
Yeah, first of all, I think everybody is in our culture. Loneliness, if you look at the studies, it apparently we're the loneliest generation that's ever existed. And I think as a culture, we've accepted loneliness as just a part of what we have to deal with. That people are alone, first of all, that there's less connection, there's less community, there's less friendship, there's fewer relationships that matter to people. And yet, in social media, we're more connected and have easier access with technology to people than ever before. And this loneliness is part and parcel of what we've created in our modern world. And so Catholics, of course, suffer from it as well. And the unfortunate reality is that on the local level and in many places, a lot of Catholics just don't feel connected to other Catholics, just as in the rest of our culture. People are isolated, so are Catholics. And so it's become an epidemic. We know this based on the studies and sociological understanding of what's going on. But also, it's quiet because we just aren't talking about it very much. And that's why I said it was a quiet epidemic.
You know, I think of the good old days, you know, when people used to talk to their neighbors, everybody on mm-hmm. the block knew everybody, all the kids knew mm-hmm. everybody. You know, like you said, you know, we have social media, we can be connected to thousands of people, yet we can be so alone.
Yeah, and, you know, that takes effort. It takes a little bit of cracking the cultural code. This is part of that, so that can still happen. I mean, yesterday I spent half an hour talking to the woman who's living across the street, you know, because she's about to move. And that's part of the reason we're kind of isolated, is because we're in a society that has much more kind of a fluid dynamic when it comes to putting down roots. You know that people move more than they ever have before, that fewer and fewer neighborhoods are solid, that there's a lot of this kind of coming and going, and we see that all the time. And so, unfortunately, people grow up, and as kids, they don't get to know their neighbors, and so it's not something that has become a habit or something that they look forward to. And so we just don't learn the skills of going over and talking to people and making it a priority that we're going to spend time in conversation with folks. But it can still happen. And that's what that's something that we as Catholics and people who have a call to evangelize, we have to start to have an eye out for, okay, where are those people who are lonely? Where are those people who need a conversation? Well, this poor woman across the street, she needed a conversation yesterday. So God bless her, you know, took the time out of the middle of the day, saw her outside, and my wife and I both went out there and talked to her for a while.
There's always an opportunity to minister, to talk, to make somebody feel good. Sometimes it just takes a couple of minutes of just taking the time to do it. I know that this is something that you've thought about, obviously, a lot. What are a few of the ways that you've seen that Catholics are facing this epidemic of loneliness?
Well, first of all, it's in every generation, and I'll give you a few examples. It's in the young adult, who's in those transition periods, maybe from high school to college or from college to professional life or somebody who moves into a new job and they're struggling to make friends because a lot of parishes aren't set up to help young people. And so they feel isolated and alone, so they just kind of give up and they stop going to church. It's found in the elderly person who is, you know, lost a lot of friends, maybe had to move because of health reasons closer to their children, and so now they don't have a lot of friends. My parents have struggled with that kind of stuff because we had to move them into our town, and I've seen them struggle and be lonely because they left all their friends from 30-something years in San Antonio behind, and now they live here, and they don't know many people. It's found in the young married couple who has to really kind of pare down the amount of social time they have because they have children now. And so they feel like they don't have any friends or time for other things other than just taking care of stuff in the house. And, you know, so we can see, look at it, just even generation, it's found almost everywhere. It's found in every vocation. I mean, I know priests who are lonely, and yet they're around people all the time, but nobody really has invited them into friendship because they don't know how, because we kind of put a priest up on a pedestal and keep them at arm's length. It's all over the place, unfortunately. And so this is why we have such an opportunity in front of us, because there's a lot of people. In fact, the majority of people that I know in some way feel lonely at some point. And that loneliness can extend if nobody else ever reaches out to them. But what an opportunity as well, because we all want relationships. We all want friendships. And yet, you know, I realized that this was the case in guys who were around my age about 10 years ago. And this is right about the time I was in my, about to turn 40. I'm 49 right now. So think of me as a firmly in the middle age, right?
Still a young guy.
Yeah. And yeah, I know, but it's one of these things where firmly I'm about to be 50, right? And so here I am 10 years ago, about to be 40, and I was looking at all my friends, and almost all of them had kids still in the house, right? And whether that was little kids, teenagers, whatever it might be. And I started having discussions with them. And what I realized was we all enjoyed spending time together, but we rarely spent time together in an intentional way. We just kind of got together once in a while. We'd have lunch. But it wasn't just an intentional way to grow as disciples, as men of Christ, as, you know, people who were on a journey to heaven, trying to be better husbands and fathers and brothers and sons. And so I said, I really wish I had closer friends. And that's what I told the Lord, and his response to me was in my prayer, well, you're waiting for somebody to initiate with you, and yet all these other men are doing the same thing. Why don't you start to take the initiative and start to reach out to them? And I started to do that, and the response was amazing. All these guys, once I started initiating, found it was okay to do the same back, and we became better and better and better friends until now, where I have some of the greatest friends I've ever had in my life because we started to talk about things that mattered and initiate one another's lives in a way that mattered. And we hold each other accountable, and we pray together, and we carry each other's burdens, and we spend time together, and guess what? We're no longer lonely. And it's not rocket science, but boy, do we have an opportunity. And that's basically what lay ministry in the community should look like.
Marcel, are you seeing this quiet epidemic within the parishes, within our church? And has it been exacerbated in the last couple of years because of the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'll give you another story. So a lot of this, this blog post that I put up, I actually put this up a couple of years ago, and then I've rewritten parts of it and reposted it. And when I first put it up about 4 years ago, I got several emails and phone calls from people. And one of them was from a woman who told me that I could share her story. So I want to share it with your audience. This was a woman who worked at several parishes and two large Catholic apostolates in this country. So she was a professional lay ministry person. And she worked in these different places where everybody thought she had it all together because she had the right degrees and the experience and everything else. But what she realized was she was seriously lonely. She was single, in her 30s, and looked like, from the outside looking in, everything was going great in her life. But it wasn't, because she was very lonely. And one morning on a Sunday, she woke up and decided, you know what, I really don't want to go to Mass. And so she stopped going to Mass. And then the next Sunday, she did the same thing in the next one. She was working in a parish at this time, folks. And what people don't realize is that just because we have a title or a responsibility or a certain vocation, that people don't necessarily have it all together, or it doesn't mean that the, you know, they're praying. It doesn't mean they're walking with the Lord. And she ended up walking away from the active practice of her faith. And she reached out to me because she said, the person that you're describing as lonely in your blog post is me, and it hurts. Now, this meant that, you know, when she had called me, that I had an opportunity to reach back out to her, and I told her, and I tell her what I tell your audience if somebody's feeling the same thing. It's okay that you feel lonely, but the decisions you make based upon that loneliness are very important. And one thing you need to know is that God loves you beyond any measure that you could imagine, that there's no sin that's big enough to keep you from him from loving you. There's nothing that you could feel that could keep God from loving you. And that in the midst of this cross you're bearing right now, God is with you even if he doesn't feel like it, even if you don't think he is. And that's a reality. And we have to live in that reality. And the other thing is that I want you at church. I want you to take hold of this cross. I want this because it's good for you to be able to bear this and grow through this, but also because the church needs you, and I miss you. And so I'm going to pray for you. And I told that woman that I was going to pray for her. And so this was right about Christmas, about 4 years ago. The following Christmas, I contacted her again because I didn't know her that well. She just reached out to me from a blog post. And I wrote her an email, and I said, I want to let you know that for the last year, I have prayed for you every day by name. And that's my Christmas present to you. And I've done that for the last 3 years because this is how valuable people are. And they need to know that somebody out there cares. And my effort is small, quite honestly, in the big scheme of things. But this is the opportunity we have as Catholics to evangelize, to do the little things like reach out to people, make a phone call today, pray for somebody and let them know it. And that's what I tell everybody, that we have to reach out to one another. We have to care for one another. That's the body of Christ.
Great story. Great story, Marcel. People need to know that they're loved, that God loves them, because it's so easy in this day and age, in our culture, in this secular culture that we live in, to forget about that truth. In the final moments that we have, what can we do about this loneliness that you so passionately write about? How can we be more intentional in our day-to-day relationships?
Yeah, I think one of the things we got to do is we have to pray for people, but after we pray, we have to get through our uncomfortableness and our societal norms that sometimes keep us at arm's length from one another, and tell somebody, you know what, I would really like to go get a cup of coffee with you because I enjoy your friendship, or I like being around you, or our conversations are always great. And be honest and let somebody know that, because when they know that you care and that you want relationship, guess what ends up happening? Either you're going to respond appropriately and say, me too, I want that with you, or they're going to let you know what, I don't know that that's the case. And then you know appropriately how to respond. But one way or the other, that's how relationships grow, is by being vulnerable. And this vulnerability can lead to intimacy, but it all starts with building it through trust. So trust, vulnerability, intimacy. And that's where we need to go, and that's what's going to help us all.
Doing the little things. I really appreciate your perspective, Marcel. I want to remind the folks, if you want to read the entire blog, it's called The Quiet Epidemic of Lonely People. You can find it at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. Marcel, thanks so much for being with us once again.
Oh, absolutely. And my rosary is going to be for all those people listening who feel lonely today.
And that was my conversation with Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. Again, you can go to CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com for much more. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will be with us to tell us all about St. Jude, the saint of the impossible or of hopeless causes. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air. We'll be right back after this.
More of Morning Air
after this.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad.
sad song and make it better.
Hey Jude, how appropriate, and you'll know why in a moment. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. It's always a blessing, and it's always a privilege to be with you, our Relevant Radio family. Now, can you believe that November starts next Tuesday? It's literally right around the corner. In November, we celebrate the lives of family and friends who have passed away, and we pray for their entry into the kingdom of heaven. Join your Relevant Radio family in prayer from November 2nd through the 10th as we offer a special novena for these holy souls in purgatory. You can submit up to 20 names of your departed loved ones at relevantradio.com/souls from now until November 10th. When you submit the names of souls to be prayed for, you'll also receive reflections from our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, each day of the novena to help you enter more deeply into prayer. As Father Rocky reminds us, once a soul is released from purgatory, he or she will intercede for you and me from heaven. So do it this morning while you're thinking about it. Add the names of your loved ones at relevantradio.com/souls and join us as we pray for them during a daily mass at noon, the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Drew Mariani, the Hour of Power, and also the Family Rosary Across America tonight at 7 p.m. Central with Father Rocky. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, why were we playing Hey Jude music? Well, tomorrow, October 28th, the Catholic Church is celebrating the Feast of the Apostles, St. Simon and Jude, because according to tradition, they were martyred together, and their names occur together in the canon of the Mass. St. Jude is famous for being the patron saint of hopeless causes, and a statue of this beloved saint can be found in many churches and in many chapels, as countless people turn to his intercession in prayer when hope is waning. Joining us live this morning is our spiritual director, Father James Kibicki, with much more on the Apostles, St. Simon and Jude. Father Kibicki is a Jesuit priest, a retreat director, and a spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kibicki. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you. Can you believe this is our last visit here in the month of October, the month of the Rosary?
The month went by so quickly, John, and it ends on such a great note. I like to think that before we celebrate the Eve of All Saints, which many people know as Halloween and has taken on all kinds of other meanings that are not so holy, we do have this holy saint and his brother apostle that we celebrate tomorrow, Simon and Jude. And I have to give a shout out to Sarah, who does such a great job finding music to kind of lead into our conversations when I'm on Thursdays. And so, hey Jude, it's great for us to give a shout out to St. Jude as we anticipate his feast tomorrow.
Do you think the Beatles were thinking of St. Jude when they wrote that song?
I don't think so. I don't know. There's probably somebody that did a story or went into the lyrics of Beatles songs and where they came from. I'm sure somebody can look that up on the internet and find out the meaning behind their choice of words there.
All right, let's take these two holy apostles, St. Jude and St. Simon. Let's begin with St. Jude. Can you tell us a little bit about who was the apostle St. Jude, also known as Thaddeus?
Well, there's some controversy over who he actually was in terms of his relationship to Jesus. Some people will say he was a brother of Jesus, meaning a cousin or close relative, because as we know, Mary had no child except Jesus. And then others say, no, it's somebody else. It's the brother of James. And then there's a letter in the New Testament that is attributed to St. Jude, a very short letter. But what we do know is that he was an apostle and that he was martyred for the faith. And in fact, that's where Simon comes into the picture, that the two of them were martyred together. They gave witness with their lives to Jesus Christ.
And this is according to ancient tradition that the two of them were martyred together.
That's right. That's right. What we know is that, you know, after Pentecost, the apostles were dispersed and were sent by the Holy Spirit to different parts of the world. And so there's traditions about Simon and Jude going off to Armenia and other parts of the of Asia Minor. So they were the first missionaries in the church and also among the apostles and martyrs.
And obviously that's why the two are celebrated on the same day. What do we know about Saint Simon, also known as the Zealot, not to be confused with Simon Peter?
Right. He's known as the Zealot. And again, there's different interpretations of this. Some people will say that means he was zealous for the faith, that he was known as a very strict Jew, a very strict follower of Judaism. But others will say to be known as a zealot, that he was part of a terrorist group in Palestine at the time. The zealots were people who were conducting, let's say, clandestine guerrilla warfare against the Roman occupiers. And in fact, there's some tradition that they were known as the stabbers because they carried a dagger under their cloaks. And if they found a Roman soldier alone in an alley or someplace, they would stab him and kill him. And so you have Simon, who's a zealot, either part of the zealot party or he was zealous for the faith. Either way, he became a zealous follower of Jesus who went off to preach the word and then give his life in witness to Jesus.
And Father Kubicki, I think it's important to understand from a historical perspective that these original apostles really took the words of Jesus, go to make disciples of all nations, to heart. I mean, these guys went all over the world. You know, Thomas going to India, according to tradition, Saint Simon, a priest in Egypt. So these guys dispersed all over.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, again, we can just imagine them taking those marching orders from Jesus and taking them seriously, but also being able to do what they did because of Pentecost, because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit that led them. They probably experienced fear, but they didn't let the fear control them. They had the Holy Spirit to give them the gift of courage in order to go preach the gospel and even give their lives in witness to it.
You know, Father Kubicki, whenever I see a bishop or even sometimes, you know, just talking to bishops here on the show, I always remember that through apostolic succession, every bishop is connected all the way back to the original apostles, to Saint Simon and Jude.
That's right. And, you know, that's the beauty of the Catholic faith, the apostolic succession, that every bishop, every priest who's ordained by a bishop can say this bishop goes all the way back to the apostles, that there's this succession of bishops beginning with the apostles and into the present. And it's beautiful to consider that, you know, our faith and church do not come out of the blue, but go way back to the apostles.
And Father Kubicki, obviously, tomorrow we celebrate the feast of St. Simon's and Jude. And St. Jude is much more well-known. He's the more famous of the two. Can you tell us why he is known as the saint of the impossible or of hopeless causes?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One is apparently, you know, people confused St. Jude with Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. And so some people were afraid to pray to Jude, thinking that they were praying to Judas. And so the tradition is that When people did pray to St. Jude, he interceded in a very special way for them, and great miracles occurred. And so very quickly, he became known as a great miracle worker, saint, and intercessor, and the saint of impossible causes. The other aspect is this, that in the year, in the 1100s, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he received a vision in which our Lord told him to accept St. Jude as the saint of the impossible. And that was confirmed 2 centuries later when Jesus appeared to St. Bridget of Sweden in the 1300s and asked the same request, that St. Jude be recognized as the saint of the impossible. So for that reason, people throughout history, but more recently, especially in the last century, have turned to St. Jude as the saint of the impossible or of hopeless causes.
Well, there's much more that we want to talk about St. Jude, the saint of the impossible or hopeless causes. In fact, I want to invite our listeners, if you have a special devotion to St. Jude, we'd love to hear from you. If you've ever been to the National Shrine of St. Jude, which is actually here in the Chicago area, or to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital, again, we'd love to get your thoughts. We're taking your calls for our spiritual director, Father James Kibicki. If you have a devotion to St. Jude, today's the day. Give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Father Kibicki. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
There is no impossible with you.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in. I love the Mission Impossible music, which leads us to our discussion of St. Jude, the saint of the impossible or of hopeless causes, as we continue our conversation with our spiritual director, Father James Kibicki. Father Kibicki, tell us about why St. Jude is so oftentimes portrayed the way that he is, with a flame over his head and a medallion of Christ on his chest, the green cloak. Can you fill us in?
Well, sure. And green, of course, is the color of hope. And so because he's the saint of hopeless causes, he's wearing a green cloak. And the flame over his head reminds us of Pentecost and the tongue of flame that came upon each of the apostles and Mary at Pentecost. The medallion is a little more complicated. There's a tradition that the king of Edessa, which is in modern-day Turkey, at the time of Jesus, King Abagar, he sent word to Jesus that he needed to be cured of leprosy. And he sent an artist along with that messenger, asking that a drawing of Jesus be sent back to him, that he could see the one who he trusted could cure him. And Jesus saw such great faith in King Abagar that he took a piece of cloth and pressed his face to it and left an imprint of his face. And this cloth then St. Jude took to King Abagar, who was cured. And so the image, the medallion, the image of Jesus on the chest of St. Jude reminds us of that tradition.
And that explains why we see the medallion on the many statues and the images that we see in chapels and in churches across our country, of St. Jude holding that medallion with the holy face of Christ.
That's right. It's nice to be able to, figure out why that is, because, you know, in most cases, the different apostles have different things associated with them. And with St. Jude, we have that image of Jesus on his chest.
Now, St. Jude has a big following. In fact, there is the National Shrine of St. Jude, which is right here in the Chicago area. And something that I did not know, that St. Jude is the patron saint of the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, I found that out as I was doing a little research about this. And perhaps that's because of the National Shrine being located in Chicago. But, you know, a great devotion. I wish my mother, I mentioned in my reflection today, my mother's birthday was yesterday, and she died back in 1984. But she had a deep devotion to St. Jude, and in fact, her first child, my oldest sister, she named her Judy in honor of St. Jude. And when she died, my father got a statue of St. Jude that he put in the garden as kind of a remembrance of my mother's devotion. But there in Chicago, we have the Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which was founded in the 1920s to serve the Mexican-American community in Chicago. And the shrine to St. Jude was started by a Claretian priest by the name of Father James Tort. And now it's become, the national shrine to St. Jude. I have not been there myself, so I'd be curious to hear more about it.
Absolutely. If anybody's been to that National Shrine in Chicago, I would love to hear from you. I have been to the St. Jude Chapel, which is located in the Women's Center, and that's a beautiful, beautiful place. The Women's Center, which has saved over 40,000 babies from abortion, they invoke St. Jude every single day, and it's a beautiful place. In fact, that's where I got the inspiration to create and produce the 40 film, the pro-life documentary that I did before rejoining Relevant Radio. So lots of devotions to St. Jude, and we have a few callers that want to chime in and be part of the discussion. Corey is joining us from the Twin Cities this morning. Good morning, Corey. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Thank you. And yes, I have a friend who had a tumor the size of a baseball and was going in for a biopsy last week, and started the novena to St. Jude, as well as submitted her name for the Holy Rosary or Family Rosary Across America and the chaplet. And when she went in on Friday, they could not do the biopsy because the tumor had disappeared. The doctor was just shocked. Oh. Everyone was shocked.
Praise God. Well, Corey, I'm so glad you called in with that story, because, you know, a lot of times people think these type of things don't happen anymore. And to hear that it happened just last week is great. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey. Really do appreciate it. Father Kubicki, one other thing about St. Jude, another reason why he's known here in our country is because of the Children's Research Hospital in Memphis under his name. Do you know a little bit about this?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I grew up watching the Danny Thomas TV show, and Danny Thomas was a comedian. He was Lebanese in his ethnic background, and the Maronite Catholic Church is an important part of the faith of people from Lebanon. And so the story goes like this, that he founded the hospital, St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, in 1962. But before that, he was struggling in his career. He was a comedian, and he was struggling to get a break, and he was living paycheck to paycheck. And when his first child was born, he went to Mass in Detroit, and he put $7 into the collection box. Now, that would have been a lot of money back in the late 50s, early 60s. So he put $7 into the collection box, and he prayed for the intercession to St. Jude, that St. Jude would provide the means by which he could provide for his family. And only a week later, he obtained a gig. He obtained an opportunity that paid him 10 times what he put into the offering box. And so he would have received $70 for his first real break. And he promised St. Jude that if the saint continued to intercede for his success, he would build him a shrine. And that shrine turned out to be the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which is, you know, a beautiful idea that St. Jude, the saint of the impossible, so many families with children who might have cancer or other childhood diseases can turn to him for help. So it's a great story about Danny Thomas and the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
I love that story, Father. We have time to squeeze in a Dan who's joining us from Horicon, Wisconsin. Good morning, Dan. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Good morning, John. Great show. It's Horicon. Anyway, I have a special devotion to St. Jude because he's bailed me out on a number of occasions that I pray to him and ask for his intercession, and also because my full name is Daniel Thomas. And if you go to the Shrine of St. Jude down on the south side of Chicago, which is a beautiful shrine and church, they have a First Order relic. They have a piece of his shin bone enshrined at that shrine. If you, it's totally worth the drive to get down there into the hundreds, and you should go.
Thanks, thanks, Dan. And that shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe Church is at 91st and Brandon Avenue on the far southeast side of Chicago, if you're down in that area. Father Kubicki, real quick, final thoughts.
Well, I'm just, again, glad, Dan, that you witnessed to the power of the saints, and in particular, the saint of the impossible, St. Jude. And I hope all our listeners, when we celebrate tomorrow the Feast of Simon and Jude, that you keep him in mind and let other people know of the power that the saints have in our lives.
St. Jude, pray for us. Father Kubicki, as always, thank you so much. Always a blessing to be with you.
You too, John. Goodbye.
Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director and the director of the St. Francis DeSales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called What Do You Need to Unload? By Richard Lee Holbert. Every year, about 1,500 thru-hikers set out to walk the entire Appalachian Trail in a single season. Only 10% complete the 2,160 miles, challenging terrain stretching from Georgia to Maine. One reason some people drop out early is they haven't learned to travel light. A friend of mine launched his thru-hike carrying a seriously overloaded backpack. He had a cassette player and six tapes of bird calls, an air pistol to keep the varmints away, a camera, a radio, an alarm clock. If it ran on batteries, he said, I had one in my pack. At his first stop, an experienced hiker helped him to go through his pack and decide what to keep and what to send home. Each item was placed on a gram scale with the question, is it worth it? Do you want to carry this for the next 2,000 miles? My friend discovered that his biggest problem was an accumulation of little things. Most of his extra weight was in ounces, not pounds. He didn't need half of what was in his first aid kit, nor the extra tube of toothpaste. His heavy multi-tool knife was replaced with one weighing only an ounce. A metal knife and fork spoon set gave way to a single plastic spoon. He sent home 26 pounds of unnecessary weight. How many of us are trying to walk the trail of faith in Christ weighed down by an accumulation of little things? Anger, bitterness, worry, envy, jealousy, lust, selfishness. Instead of enjoying the beauty of life with Jesus, we complain about how hard it is to follow him. Psalm 32 is for everyone who's ready to shed the weight of sin and regain the joy of walking with the Lord. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
As always, Glenn, thanks so much. A reminder, in these final days of October, the month of the Rosary, honor Our Lady and our Blessed Lord by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week on Relevant Radio. And that'll do it for this Thursday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow.